Saints, praise the Lord. This is a really good opportunity for us all to have this kind of fellowship in the European Parents Conference. I think we all realize in these days, these very dark and corrupt days, that this kind of fellowship is really necessary and at the same time can be very helpful and encouraging. And we hope that certainly through these messages and through the fellowship with one another, that the encouragement will be available to us, and it's really needed. I'm here in the U.S. right now visiting my son and his wife and their two little girls, ages 6 and 3. And we had a presentation this morning in the Lord's Day meeting here in one of the localities in the U.S., and it was just so sweet to see the children there singing a song and clapping their hands and so on. And you realize, oh, the most precious asset that we have in the churches, in the Lord's recovery, are the children. What an asset this is. And how important it is for us to really pay attention to their situation. And how in these days, not only can they be protected from the tide of this age, but also even the more that they can be cultivated and perfected to be useful to the Lord, even at an early age. And so we're going to get into this a little bit in this message too. But thank the Lord for the European Parents Conference, that we're having such a time together. None of us is an expert. None of the brothers who are speaking, none of the serving ones, there are no experts here. We're all learners, just as we are learning in so many other aspects of our Christian life. It's a learning that we're all passing through, and we are learning in terms of how to take care of our children. And so please don't misunderstand anything that I say or anything that we say as if it's coming from the experts. And that is just simply not the case. But there are some among us who have had experience. They're a little bit further down the road. And so we should take advantage of those experiences. And of course, we also have a lot of help available to us through the ministry of the age and through the Holy Word. And so we'd like to present these kind of matters to us, again, with a view toward how do we take care of our next generation. And as we begin, I'd like to refer to a verse in the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is when Peter is preaching the gospel to the Jews there in Jerusalem. The Lord has ascended. The Spirit has been poured out. And Peter is there standing with the 11, and he's preaching the gospel, the New Testament gospel, to the Jews there in Jerusalem. And it says in verse 37 that when the people heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What should we do, brothers?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized upon the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself." So Peter's telling the people, to you it is given. To you is the promise, and to your children, not only to us, but to our children, the promise of the Spirit has been given to us. And also to those who are far off. This may include family, this may include neighbors, this may include relatives and friends, classmates, and we will get into this in the course of our review of this outline for message 2. But thank the Lord, his view is always not only to us, but to the household and to the children, and that they too would be included in his full salvation. So with this being said, let's just go to the outline straight away. And I'm just very impressed with this outline because there are a number of striking points that in one way kind of speak for themselves, but in another way, perhaps the Lord, the Spirit will lead us to expand and to try to provide some application. But I think you'll be impressed in reading this outline that there are a number of striking points given to us that we really should consider, and we should really open to the Lord in prayer and in fellowship with one another to consider how they might be applied in our particular situations. None of the things that are here are presented in the way of legalities or dogma, but these are key points for us to understand the value of children's work. And I believe in message one, Brother Ricky has already described to us the value of a children's work, even the necessity of a children's work. And of course, Brother Tom will also have some words of fellowship concerning how to develop this work among us. None of us has arrived. There are various places that have had more experience in this matter of the children's work than others, but no one has arrived. We're all learning, and may we all learn together how to improve, how to uplift the work that we do with the children. But one thing that's striking to me in this outline for message two is the vision or the view that Brother Lee had concerning the children, realizing that they really are such an asset to the churches. So again, the title here is Having the Increase of the Church Also Through the Children. So right away, we understand that in this message, the message implies or indicates that the increase of the church can come through the children. We realize that the Lord wants to increase and spread his testimony. Matthew 24:14 tells us that before the end will come, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole inhabited earth. So that indicates, along with John 15, story concerning the vine and the branches, that the nature of the Lord's life is that it's a growing, increasing life. It's also a spreading life. And it's a life that always wants to be on the move, always wants to be expressed, always wants to increase. When there's a situation of death, that brings stagnation, that brings inactivity. But the divine life is the most active, vibrant kind of life. And so that includes the matter of increase. And so we see, of course, in Acts 2, Peter is there. They're preaching the gospel. And right away, thousands of people are being added to the church. This is in the very beginning of the book of Acts. But this title indicates that we can experience the increase of the church through the children. And we'll get into some details here that you may not have considered before. So let's go to Roman number one. It says, many years ago, we did not realize that the children are a big gospel work. We only cared to preach the gospel while neglecting the fact that the children also are fruit of the gospel. We read in Acts 2, this word that Peter gives is to the people and to their children. And so we realize that the children also are fruit of the gospel. Did you consider your own children to be fruit of the gospel? Way back in Genesis, the Lord commissioned man, both Adam and Eve. His desire was that they would increase and multiply and to subdue the earth, because God, in his consideration, God is interested in seeing the increase of his expression and the increase of his dominion. In other words, that the whole earth would be subdued by those that are living the God-man life. So image and dominion there in Genesis also implies, when you read Genesis, you see that at the same time, God is interested in the increase of this image and dominion as being manifested through men, through human beings just like us. Of course, the fall has interrupted all of that. But still, there is this desire in God's heart that his expression would increase even to fill the whole earth. So we realize just here in Romans 1 that a major feature of this increase will come about through our own children. We always think, and the reason I'd like to dwell here for a minute, is that our concept is always that the gospel is something involving our going out into the highways and the byways, going to the campuses, going to the city centers, and, you know, preaching the gospel. Well, this has value. We should do this. But the gospel is not only about that. The gospel also includes this idea that the children are the fruit of the gospel. How about this? There's a lot to consider here, but let's move on through some of the subpoints, and this will help expand our understanding of this point. In A, it says, we may be doing our best to preach the gospel, but if we pay proper attention to the children's work, in time, many more brothers and sisters will be properly brought up in the church. Okay, so it indicates here, we may be doing a work of preaching the gospel, as we should. Praise the Lord for the gospel. You know, brothers, I love the gospel. In my Christian life, the experience of preaching the gospel to others and leading others to Christ, you have to say, and I think this is probably the same with many of us, that when you have the privilege of leading a person to Christ, to bring them to a point where they're willing to pray and open to the Lord, even to call on his name, what a delightful situation that is. There's a real joy in bringing a sinner to Christ. And so this is something we should continue. We should do this. But on the one hand, as we're doing our best to preach the gospel, we should also pay proper attention to the children's work. Because in time, many more brothers and sisters will be properly brought up in the church. In the past, I'm sorry to say that the children's work has been neglected because, and in many cases, because we see our cause as being a cause for the gospel, for the outreach. And again, this is not to diminish any of the burden related to that. But as we pursue that burden, we have to be very careful not to neglect the children's work. In our past, sorry to say, we have neglected this work. And as a result, there's a great loss sustained by the churches. And we need to reverse this trend. Under A, 1, it says, even if only half of the children come into the church life, we would have thousands of more saints meeting with us. I would say to have half of the children come into the church life is really a modest goal. I'm not sure if we should agree with that. But even if only half of them come into the church life, oh, then throughout the churches, thousands of saints will be added to the churches. This is a much more effective way to gain the increase than preaching the gospel. Now, I'm not saying this. These words are taken from Brother Lee's ministry. So it says here, this is a much more effective way to gain the increase than preaching the gospel. Moreover, those who are gained in this way will have a good foundation. Well, what way is this? This is the way of gaining our own children. When we have a child, when there's any of the younger couples among us, if they have a child, we need to consider that that child represents increase, the increase of Christ for the church. Because in a normal, healthy situation, that young person, eventually at the proper time, under the Lord's sovereignty and according to his will, that child can be brought to Christ. And in coming to Christ, then that represents increase to the body of Christ. But not only so, we should, in our consideration of children's work, and even in our consideration of parenting, we should have the burden and the thought and the prayer that this little one would eventually be able to grow, be developed, cultivated, and even perfected to become a useful member of the body. This should be our goal with all of our children. Not that they necessarily would be rich and successful. Of course, we want to see them get a wonderful education and be taken care of in a proper human way. We absolutely agree with this. But that is not the goal of their life, or should not be the goal of their life. The goal of our human living should be that we could be those who participate in the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. And his eternal purpose, again, is image and dominion, that he could be expressed in and through us, and that through us he could exercise dominion to push back the enemy, to subdue the earth, and to establish his kingdom here on the earth. He needs a people that will cooperate with him in this great cause. And so we need to have the view that our children are born to us in order to participate in this tremendous thing called the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. And so as they're born to us and as they begin to grow, we need to have the view and the burden and to pray much that the Lord would bless them, keep them for himself, and that the Lord could gain them for himself. And so when you have a young person who's gained in this way, that is a strong foundation, because in many ways, the young people can be protected, safeguarded, living in a sanctified environment in which they aren't necessarily participating in many of the things that the young people in the world are participating in. Although, let me quickly say, yes, our young people are not immune from these things. Our young people, and many of them, we know them. Many of them have sinned and fallen into the situation of participating in the things in the world. They have friends that are doing these things, and so they enter in. Well, our view should be that, much like Luke 15, where we may have a child that goes off into the world, but our view is always, oh, just to pray for them and to welcome them, to receive them, just like the father does with the prodigal in Luke, that when the son or the daughter has a turn and comes back, we just receive them without any kind of judgment, without any kind of reservation, because we love them and we realize they not only belong to us, they belong to the Lord. And so this kind of foundation in every one of them, whether they're doing well or they're not doing well, if we can establish a foundation in them, this can be a real protection over the long term. And this is much different than just going out in the highways and byways to preach the gospel to others, because in that case, and we all know this from experience, oh, sorry to say that with many people, there's a situation in which You know, they have a certain kind of baggage, you know, there's a certain kind of history, that is with that person, and you have to overcome many different things. And so right away, there's a kind of a built-in advantage toward gaining the increase with our own children. And that's really simply what this point is standing for. It's a much more effective way to gain the increase than in going out. It's just, I would say it's just a kind of basic fact, but yet it's not something that we take the great advantage of. I think it's something in which we overlook this benefit, and realizing that, oh, we're all the time looking to go out, bring the gospel to others. And thank the Lord for the gospel. Thank the Lord that we can reach out to others, but we have this built-in advantage of being able to establish our young ones with a good foundation, and this eventually becomes the most effective way to gain the increase. So this point here that we've just read, point two, I think is quite an impressive point. And something that we should really consider. Okay, going on to B, it says, when children are saved, they become our young brothers and sisters. After they graduate from primary school, they become the seeds of the gospel in the junior high school. Okay, this portion brings in a phrase that you may or may not have heard of, and that is this idea of the seeds of the gospel seeds. Brother Lee's view toward the children and young people was that they were actually seeds of the gospel. Let's consider this phrase for a moment. You know, in our experience, and by this I refer back to our time, for a number of years, my wife and I were in Southern California. We had, or have, and still have, although they're quite grown up now and they're parents in their own right. But we have two children. And so we were involved in children's meeting and we were involved with the young people. But there was a time in which we just realized that the nature of our work with the children and the young people was mainly one of trying to protect them or to keep them in the church life. I'll never forget a time where I was with Brother Tom and a number of other brothers, and we were on a call with Brother Andrew Yu, and he made the point to us that in Brother Lee's view, he never regarded the children's work as a defensive work. And he always viewed the children's work as an offensive work, meaning he wasn't interested. He did not consider that the best way to carry out this work was just with a viewpoint of trying to protect them or to safeguard them or to keep them from sin, that is not enough in itself. That what's needed is that the young people themselves would learn to be active in the Christian life, even that they could become seeds of the gospel. This is the phrase that Brother Lee used, that they would be seeds of the gospel. And really, I have to tell you that view at that time was somewhat revolutionary to us. Because we were really oriented, of course, in those days, this is back in the 80s, into the 90s. Our view at that time, based on different experiences the saints had, we'd passed through a couple of storms and so forth. Our view was we're just trying to hold on to our young people. The world, as it is today, the world then was quite strong, although I would say it's even stronger today, more difficult today than even that it was then. But still, the tide of the age was quite strong, pulling away a number of our young people. And so the desire, the natural desire, the reasonable reaction to that is, We need to hold on to them. We need to protect them and safeguard them. Well, this is right. There's nothing wrong with that. However, it's not sufficient in itself. But we need to realize that when we consider our young ones, we need to view them as there is the possibility that they could be a seed of the gospel. In other words, like any seed, that seed gets planted somewhere. And although you may not see that much in the beginning, over time, there's a development, there's a blossoming, something comes forth from that seed. And in the case of the seed of the gospel, you have your kids going to school. You're just happy that they can go there and stay out of trouble. However, what about through our prayer and our fellowship, having a work in which our young people attend school? And of course, what's mentioned here is this idea of junior high school, which, of course, this probably was talking in the context of the U.S., but really we're talking about ages, 10 to 13 or 14, somewhere in that range, that these young ones would be there attending school as a seed of the gospel. Now, we're not expecting any young person to go there and get some kind of message, right? Let's not be foolish. But they can certainly be there functioning as a seed of the gospel. This is possible. And they can be there in their schools with the help of a kind of proper equipping as they're growing up. They then attend school in this kind of a way. And what does a seed of the gospel do? Well, the seed by itself is not that impressive. But when that seed is sown, something can come forth. And it could be very simple. It could be that, your child or this young person would invite their friend to come to your home where you have a nice, pleasant little gathering. And we'll get into this further in this outline, the idea of a kind of neighborhood children's meeting or a neighborhood young person's meeting, where you just have a kind of a gathering with some refreshments and some snacks and maybe a little bit of singing, maybe some athletics or recreation. But then maybe at some point, some kind of a story for 15 minutes that makes an impression. But that visitor, that friend that's come, has entered into your home and entered into an atmosphere that they could not touch anywhere else. We have to believe this is true because our homes are sanctified. And in our homes, we can have the Lord's presence with us. So you invite a young guest, a young friend, and actually our young people do this as a seed of the gospel. You invite them home. You have a little gathering. Of course, you have some contact with the parents. Even the parents can be invited, but some parents may elect not to go. They send their child because they're looking for a break in the afternoon. And you just have a little gathering for an hour. Oh, this could be so sweet and so pleasant. And I would say 9 times out of 10, that young person's going to want to come back. So the seed of the gospel is something that we should have the view that all of our young people, as they're growing up, that they could develop to become such a seed. Then it continues, it says, when we work in the schools, the young brothers and sisters become our inside helpers and bring their classmates to us. In this way, it is easier to work in the junior high schools. And again, Brother Lee is speaking here at this younger level. And it just occurs to me, saints, that you consider the wickedness of this age. Satan is bringing the darkest things to the youngest young people. Isn't it true that even today, young people at a very early age, it used to be we were worried about the teenagers. Now we have to be concerned with 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, preschool, even in, you know, these earliest ages in which the satanic things are being presented. And if Satan's strategy is to be directed to even the youngest ones, we have to counter that strategy. We have to understand the time in which we live, realizing what his strategy is toward the young people, and we need to be equipped and be strengthened to fight the battle in a way that we deal with this strategy of the enemy. And so that means we should be very aware and very concerned for even our youngest ones, that they themselves would have the equipping that they need. Now, this doesn't mean, and I think Brother Tom will get into this in some of his speaking, this doesn't mean we're going to, you know, overload our kids with doctrinal knowledge and so forth. No, we need to be very simple with our young people, yet very real. You know, in the book, The Teacher's Training, which is a book, of course, based on Brother Lee's speaking at the time in which he first brought in this matter of the summer school of the truth. Of course, in Europe, we do the winter school based on the same concept, that we would have a time in the truth for our young people. Well, Brother Lee, if you read the book, The Teacher's Training, Brother Lee explained to us how we should carry out such a work. And the same concept applies to what we're talking about here. And that is that when we deal with the young people and we try to teach them concerning different things, our teaching has to be done in a way that there's something that can be applied to them in their experience. On the one hand, maybe some of the teaching is difficult for them to understand. However, we need to help them in their practical understanding, and more importantly, their practical experience of the various things that we speak of. And so Tom will speak more on this, but I think to inject this at this point is appropriate, because if we want our young people to be the seeds of the gospel, we do need to help them even by the time they're 5, 6, 7 years of age, as they begin to interact with other young children, that they would be able to properly understand the situation that they're in and be saved from some of the things that they will be exposed to. Of course, some of the things may confuse them, may disturb them, but if they realize that when they come home, when they're with the parents or even with others in the church, that they realize that they are loved, they are cared for, and that they can talk about these things, then this is a very healthy situation. Of course, this will vary from age to age. You know, the very young ones may not be such a problem, but as they reach 8, 9, 10 years of age, a lot of these things become intensified. So they become our inside helpers, and they bring their classmates to us. In number 2, it says that these young brothers and sisters in a junior high school can be likened to little seeds. They are waiting to sprout by responding to our call and bringing their classmates to salvation. Well, again, the concept is the same, that they would be there with a view toward helping their friends, caring for their friends, to know God. And of course, again, some of this is going to vary according to the age that we're speaking of, but we should have this view in our children's work and even in our parenting, that the gospel can be a great protection to our young people. And of course, even more, if they function as a seed of the gospel, they can bring their classmates to salvation. And so if you're talking about the increase of the church, we're not only talking about our children, but we're talking about our children's friends. So when you lose a young person, let's say that young person, by the time they're 18 years of age, they don't want to be involved anymore. They're looking to stay away from the church life. You not only lose them and everything that's been invested in them, but you lose the opportunity to gain others in their age group, other young people. And so as a result, many of the churches you go and you realize many of the saints, they're older saints there. Where are the young people? Well, the young people have drifted away, and not only have we lost them, but we've lost the access to other young people that we can enjoy through our own young people. And so this is a great loss. You're really losing two for one in a real sense. So this is not a good way to do business. Okay, C, when they enter into high school, they again become seeds of the gospel. During their 3 years of high school, we can bring three times as many people to salvation. So that's one young person a year. They're in high school for 3 years. Of course, other places, it could be four. Well, suppose there's just one other young person gained each year. Then through the high school years, it could be three or four young people added. What a result that would be. When these young people finish high school and enter college, they are seeds of the gospel in their college. In this way, the number of people saved is continually multiplied. Can you get a sense of how Brother Lee viewed the work with the young people? He just sees it as a dynamic way for the church to gain the increase, because the young people, if they're functioning in the way of seeds of the gospel, they can have impact on others. And of course, the young people that they're with have not been as yet so swallowed up by the age and taken over by the world. There's still a certain measure of opening. You know, if the kids are playing together and they're friends in the playground and in the classes, oh, they just like to be with one another. It's just a kind of friendship and a joy and just being together. And so if there's something positive that can be brought into the conversation in the way they relate to one another, oh, many of these other children, they will be open. We also realize that the parents really appreciate, of course, not every parent, but most parents really appreciate the care that can be shown by a neighbor. You know, there are many parents that are distressed by what they see taking place, but they don't know what to do. How do you prepare your child and equip your child to deal with some of these things that are being presented in the schools and through social media? How do you deal with these situations? And many, many parents these days have a sense of hopelessness. Well, suppose there's some kind of shining light that comes out of our household. We, together with our children, are there in a positive way, in a loving way, caring for some of these other children. Oh, I do think it's possible that the increase could be multiplied. How about that? So, and of course, by the time they reach college, you know, we talk about campus work, and we don't have the time for me to get into this. I mean, I have a lot of feeling about campus work, firstly, from the standpoint of its value, but secondly, from the standpoint of I'm afraid that through the years, we have neglected this means by which we can channel our young people and develop and cultivate our young people to be the best campus workers. We talk a lot about campus teams. We talk a lot about full-time serving ones with the campuses and all of that. I have certainly no disagreement with any of that. But I believe we've neglected this aspect or this perspective in how to develop a strong campus work, because what we have here is the potential of developing young people to such a degree that by the time they're attending university, they are there functioning as a seed of the gospel. But this time, they're 18, 19 years of age. And at this time, they have a certain capability of presenting the gospel. But of course, at the same time, their friends are also being heavily influenced by the world and all its philosophies. So the battle might be even more intense. Yet, if our young people are properly equipped, they will be preserved, but they also could be an influence on others. And I would just say to you, saints, that from my point of view, give me a couple of students that can function as seeds of the gospel with a heart to bring their friends to Christ, I would say that is much better than a full-time serving one, as far as campus work is concerned. Because the campus serving one, he doesn't, in a certain sense, he doesn't even belong on the campus. He's not a student there. You know, I can say this for having served in Boston with the third year training in Boston. I always had a certain feeling of empathy for our trainees and young serving ones walking onto these campuses, trying to bring the gospel to students, when in fact, in a real sense, they didn't even really belong there. And so there's a certain kind of awkwardness that's associated with that. Wouldn't it be much better if our young people were developed in such a way that instead of running away from us on the campuses, they're actually there to try to bring their classmates to Christ? Don't you think this is possible? Our success in this area has been limited, I believe, because we haven't given it the adequate attention. We're fully involved in so many other aspects of the gospel. We have not given the children's work the kind of attention that it demands in order for us to gain these kind of young people. We've had some experience for sure. And when we have a young person on a college campus that is there, engaged, willing to fellowship, having a heart for their classmates, my, that is a diamond in the rough. And so I hope that we could really, in all our local churches, really pick up this kind of burden that certainly by the time they're at university, but even earlier, junior high and high school, that they would be there functioning in this kind of way as a seed of the gospel. That doesn't mean, again, as I said earlier, it doesn't mean we expect so much dramatic results or anything of the sort, but they go there in a quiet way, in a hidden way, yet they go there understanding who they are, at least within the measure that they have, and understanding that others of their age need what they have. And that may just involve an invitation. We're not talking about gospel messages here. We're talking about perhaps a simple invitation to your home. And hopefully we'll get into that in a few minutes. Okay, now where am I? I think it's E. Suppose these children begin to be cultivated. I like this word, cultivated, in the children's meeting at the age of 6 and are saved. Okay, notice this. Brother Lee is actually talking about young people getting saved at the age of 6. Now, again, we have to be careful not to take any of these things in a legal way. You know, there has been the practice in which the tendency has been that, at least in the U.S., in my experience, I'm not so sure how we're doing it here, But by the time the young person is about 12, in other words, in junior high school or sixth grade, used in the U.S., at that time, there's a special effort given to the idea of the gospel to bring that young person to Christ and that they would also be baptized. Well, nothing wrong with that practice. I'm not suggesting that at all. But here, Brother Lee is talking about salvation, perhaps at the age of six. Now, again, we have to consider the young people according to who they are, where they are, what is their personal situation. One size does not fit all. But certainly by the time they're 10 or 12 years old, we should be really, and again, with the wickedness of the age reaching into the youngest levels, it wouldn't be good if we could bring our young people to Christ at younger levels so that their conscience is activated to some degree, the spirit is living, and there's something in them that will cause them to have a different taste. There's a lot more consideration about this matter that we can't get into in a time like this, but this is a kind of a question that you all in your situations should pray together and fellowship together concerning the young people in your hand and to consider what is the best way to care for them. Okay? And they can, and it goes on here. It says they continue to be cultivated through 3 years of junior high school, 3 years of high school, and 4 years of college. In all, they will receive a total of 16 years of spiritual education and cultivation. Now, whether it's 3 years or 4 years, whatever the case may be, the principle being described here is simply that as the young people grow and progress, they can receive a substantial period of spiritual education and cultivation. So by the time they're in their college years, something in the way of a strong foundation has been put into their being. So F, we should not do a work merely among the children in the church. Our work, now there's a turn here in this outline at this point. Our work must include the children outside the church. This is the children's gospel work. Every children's home meeting should frequently preach the gospel and invite their relatives and the children of their neighbors. Even though some parents will not come, they will allow their children to come. Okay. There's this phrase, every children's home meeting. You may raise your eyebrows and ask, children's home meeting? I didn't know we did such things. Well, again, I would say this highlights a need that we have. What about a children's home meeting? What about a young person's home meeting? We do talk about having a work among the young people. And again, we're talking about kids before they're 15, 16 years of age, because by that time they're starting to enter into college. And in many cases, sorry to say, we're beginning to lose them. This indicates to us, saints, and this should be an alarm to us, that we need to be more proactive and more aggressive at an earlier age. So what about having a children's home meeting? Think about it. Pray about it. Fellowship with your companions about it. What about a children's home meeting? You may say, well, we don't have the time. Well, perhaps it's time to consider the priority that should be given to our work with the children. And at this point, I'd like to interject something. Because as I record this message, actually, it was only yesterday that we had a time with Brother Ron, in which, and I think perhaps a number of you may have been there, This is in the Experience of Life series he's been giving to many of the saints in Europe and also in the U.S. He's been going through a monthly series, and recently we've been talking about spiritual warfare. And he commented about how all spiritual work involves spiritual warfare. The gospel preaching, the church meetings, our work with the young people, all of it includes spiritual warfare. But he highlighted very specifically our work with the young people. And he said, he used as an illustration that in a recent prayer meeting of the church in Anaheim, there were some prayers given toward the matter of the Summer School of Truth. And there was a prayer uttered in which some saint prayed, "Lord, safeguard our children from the darkness brought in by the God of this age." The prayer was against the God of this age. And a couple of saints prayed this way, but then the prayer went off into some other direction. And his point was that we need to learn to pray the prayers of spiritual warfare to deal with the enemy and to push the enemy back, particularly in relation to our young people. Because Satan's strategy today is directed to the young people. This is his word. Satan's strategy today is directed to the young people and even the youngest of people. And that's my word. So if that's his strategy, and the strategy has been developed because he realizes, now we're back to Ron's word, he believes that Satan realizes the end is near. And so his attack, his effort, his strategy is directed to the young people to damage the humanity to such an extent that this humanity will not be able to cooperate in the fulfillment of God's purpose. If Satan can take out this layer of humanity, the Lord's purpose will be frustrated. Think about it. And so, with that in mind, we need to engage in prayers of spiritual warfare, praying from ascension, praying from the throne, realizing, oh, the Lord has already gained the victory, but we need to apply this victory on behalf of our children and young people, to pray fighting prayers to push the enemy back. And so, I mentioned this in the context of this idea of, you know, children's home meetings. Children's home meetings. We may not have done this in the past, but perhaps now is the time that we need to exercise to consider giving this the priority it requires in order to not only safeguard our young children, our young people, but also to enable them to be seeds of the gospel. And so it continues here to develop this idea that our work, I don't know if I read number one, but I'll go to number one again. Every children's home meeting should frequently preach the gospel and invite their relatives and the children of their neighbors. Even though some parents will not come, they will allow their children to come. So I did read that. And, okay, eventually those parents, they will be attracted, realizing how their children are being taken care of. We believe that many people will be brought in through the children's gospel work. The children's meetings will open up a way to gain people, especially the parents of the other children. Saints, can you see in this outline how there's a whole different kind of perspective on how to approach our work to gain increase? And I believe each of these points is very worth further consideration, further prayer with those that you're with, and real consideration toward how we can apply these matters to our situation. Again, not in a legal or doctrinal way. Every situation is different. We need the flexibility to adjust to our particular situations, but there are principles described here that are really worth our consideration. And the simple fact is, we just have not done this in an adequate way. And so as a result, our attrition rate, our loss of young people is substantial. There should be something in us that rises up in disagreement with the idea that we would lose a half or even more of our young people. By the time they're 20 years old, they don't want to be around anymore. Oh, this should provoke us and cause us to pray the fighting prayers that the Lord needs. Push the enemy back and to bring in another kind of generation of young people who can function as seeds of the gospel. We believe that many people will be brought in through the children's gospel work. The children's meetings will open a way to gain people, especially the parents of the other children. We should not limit our work to the children of the saints who are in our meetings. We also need to invite the children of our neighbors and friends. Furthermore, we hope that every home will be open for the gospel. If we continue the children's work, we will be unable to estimate the long-term results. We labor on the children, our numbers will continually grow. We must realize that the children's work, listen to this point, the children's work is a crucial burden. Every locality must be aggressive in the children's work because there is a greater future in the children's work than in the campus work. Don't blame me. I didn't say this. Brother Lee said this. Why did he say this? Because with the children's work, not only are you gaining your own children, your own young people, gaining them and keeping them, but as they function in a proper, healthy situation, they will function as seeds of the gospel. And so there's the possibility of doubling your number, increasing your number. Each one of them gains another friend. And perhaps this happens more than once. Why couldn't they gain two or three over the course of a couple of years? Okay, so you're talking about a multiplied rate of growth. Whereas with the campus work, if we just restrict or limit ourselves to the campus work, our young people coming up, and this has been our experience, saints, on the campuses, young people come to different universities. We don't even know they're there. There is not the fellowship. The young person's not so active or interested. They're just there to go to school and make friends and party. This is not the situation we're aiming for. And so there's a lot more we could say, but I'd like to, you know, close in a few minutes here. But, oh, Lord Jesus, there's a greater future in the children's work than in the campus work. There's so much potential available to us in this kind of work. And every locality must be aggressive in the children's work. I would say there's been a serious shortage in this matter. We've been in certain localities where there's a really definite and active burden for the children. And as a result, the whole church life is healthier. So it's a crucial burden. We can't put it on the back burner. We shouldn't allow it to remain on the back burner, kind of afterthought in our consideration. We need to pray. We need to have the fellowship. We need to interact with the leading brothers, responsible brothers in the churches, not in a way of argument or dispute. This is not a matter of opinion, but what is the Lord's mind? How would he lead your local church in caring for the children? Let us give the Lord a fresh new opening. Then it says, when we preach the gospel, we frequently have to go out to gain people. We even go to the campuses to gain people. These people are along the roads and hedges. There is only one group of people who are not along the roads, the children in our own homes. The people along the roads might come today or tomorrow, but the people in our own homes will always be there. Furthermore, our children can bring other children. So this is the point I was making here. Okay, Roman number two. Our work for the Lord should have a long-term view. 6 years go by very quickly. Soon the children in first grade will be young brothers and sisters. When they enter junior high school, they will be young brothers and sisters when they enter junior high school. We can preach the gospel to their classmates in junior high. While in junior high, they will bring some classmates to salvation. After graduation, they will proceed to high school and become the gospel seed in high school. In their 3 years of high school, they will bring three times as many students to the Lord. After these brothers and sisters graduate, they will go on to college and become the gospel seed in college. This kind of multiplying is incredible. It surely is. These children would be gospel seeds in junior high school. They would be gospel seeds in high school. And they would be gospel seeds in college. They would be seeds the entire time that they are in school. Well, saints, I hope we would really be open to this fellowship. Don't have an unbelieving heart. Have a heart full of faith. We may not be able to point to our experience and say, oh, that this whole section I just read, that this is true according to our experience. But Brother Lee had this view. He had this burden. If we can pick up the same view and the same burden, then there is the possibility for these things to take place. But if we have an unbelieving heart, oh, what possibility is there? And saints, I believe we're in this kind of an age. We're in an age in which something more is being required of us in terms of our care for the children. And to me, the most important saint in the church life today are the young mothers. The young mothers are so crucial because they are very much in the middle of taking care of the children. They need our support. They need our supply. They need our prayers. They need the abundance of grace in order to care for the children. And so we need to come alongside of them to bring about a situation that's described in this outline. Oh, may the Lord have his way with us. May the Lord really bless each and every one of you, bless our children for his own sake. And may the Lord really take us on all together. I just feel, saints, if we can enter into the thought of this kind of an outline, the thought of this parents' conference, and continue in these things, not that we don't want to just have a kind of annual conference and then we just move on. In order for these things to be actually applied in our situation and in our experience, we need a lot of prayers. We need a lot of fellowship. Not routine prayers, but prayers in which we realize there is a spiritual warfare at work here. But I do believe the Lord wants to bring us into a new era, you might say, a new stage in our experience, so that this will give the Lord the way to return. Oh, may the Lord bless each and every one of you, and may he bless all of our children. Okay, I'll stop here.